How many of you sang that hymn, meaning what you just sang? How many of you sang that chorus and saying, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord? Over mountain, plain, or sea, I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. We get so comfortable singing these hymns. And do we pay attention? Do we really mean what we say? And what a reminder for us. That as we look at today's scripture, do we mean what we say? Do we really want to follow Jesus where he's going to send us? I titled my message, Trusting in Jesus to Provide. Are we trusting him? Are we trusting him to provide? Are we trusting him to send us, to give us the words to say? Like Patty's remark this morning, I sometimes think we rely on man too much. We look to him instead of to God. Picking on poor Patty this morning. Sorry, Patty. But I thought that was such a perfect example for us. Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 to 27. I'm going to ask you to stand out of the respect for God's word again today. Matthew chapter 17. Beginning at verse 24. When they came to Capernaum, those who had collected the two denarii tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the two denarii tax? And he said, well, yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth collect customs or poll tax? From their sons or from strangers? When Peter said, from strangers, then Jesus said to him, then the sons are exempt. However, so that we do not offend them, go to the sea and throw in a hook. Take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for you and for me. Let us pray. Lord, today, thank you. Thank you for providing. Lord, you have provided so abundantly for us, and we have really lost part of that task of really saying thank you. Lord, we just think of that at this time of the year and how we need to learn to be more thankful. Lead us and guide us. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Every person here would probably tell me that God provides our every needs every day of our lives. And I truly believe that he does. We live in a country that is operated on what the people pay in taxes. Many people become irritated when it's time to pay taxes. They're irritated when it's time to take and support something that they don't think is quite right. But yet these same people want the government, they want the missionaries there for them when they need them. They want the basic needs provided by the government instead of taking care of it themselves. But we can't have it both ways. We can't have it saying that we won't pay taxes and yet demand the government to take care of us. So oftentimes people feel they should never have to sacrifice anything. What about the hymn that we just sang? If we truly took that hymn to heart and believed that when we sang, God, I'll go where you want me to go, that we truly would then be sacrificing something. We'd be giving up something. There are so many missionaries that sacrifice everything to bring the gospel to a people that have never heard it. But the American people seem to think that they are entitled to everything and every luxury that there is. And many of the American people have gotten the idea it's no effort on their own, that they can do whatever they want, and yet they should be provided with. My first point today is we're going to talk about the tribute that is demanded. Just a short time after Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, Peter gets a visit from the tax collector. How many of you enjoy when the tax collector visits? I don't think there's too many of us that do. You know the feeling of despair when the tax collector comes and says, "You owe more taxes." What was Peter feeling that day? The question that was asked of Peter is, "Do you and your teacher pay the Demarais tax?" The Demarais was a Greek silver coin. And this 2 Demarais tax was basically about a half a shekel. It was a day's wages. And every person that was of age 20 and older was required to pay this temple tax. It was imposed first by the Israelites when they were crossing the desert. Moses said, "You need to take and pay for your redemption. You need to pay to upkeep the tabernacle." The money was used properly. It was used only for the benefit of keeping the tabernacle at that time before the temple was built, so that it was there for their place of worship. But it was also very customary for the Jewish tradition was that the taxes were always paid ahead of time. You know, it's a patriotic duty of all of ours. But it's also a religious duty to respond to our government and pay our fair share. It is quite possible that this prompt appearance of this tax collector to Peter that day was a plan that was put into effect by the enemies of Jesus. They had probably alerted the tax collector and says, "Hey, go after this guy. I don't think he's paying his temple tax." Thinking that they could accuse Jesus and his disciples of doing something wrong, something that they had breached in their recognition of an obligation that they had in paying their portion. This tax was in addition to the tithing that was also very sacred to God. It was something different, something that they used only for the upkeep. It wasn't used for the salaries, it wasn't used for any of the furnishings. It was just used for the upkeep. An important point here: churches always have had and always will have obligations. You know, it's really nice to think that in God's church that there's never any worry about finances. But as you all know, it doesn't work that way. As long as the church is here on earth, there's always going to be expenses. How about the heat bill, the light bill? When you walk in on Sunday morning, do you like the church, the sanctuary warm? You like to be able to have the lights come on? How about the trash hauled away? How about the lawn being mowed during the summer? Or the snow removed from our parking lot? The list could go on and on of all of the different expenses in operating a church. So that's why each and every one of us contributes to the finances of the church. But does it end there? Does it end just giving to the church? Or should the church be giving also? Christ has set an example for us. Peter's answer to the tax collector was yes. And then Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote in Romans 13:7, render to all what is due them. Tax to whom a tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Are we rendering those things to those that deserve it? Those that should be? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Or are we so careful that we've got to hoard everything, keep it only to ourselves? Even though the temple leadership was corrupt, Jesus even called it a den of thieves. The priest of the temple opposed Christ, but yet what did Christ do? He upheld the principle of supporting the work of God. That is our example to follow. To follow what Christ has done. To take care of what God has given us. Number two, Jesus gave up his rights. When you look at this text, you know, it's really interesting how Jesus, he not only anticipates Peter's thoughts, he knows Peter's thoughts. He knows what has transpired between the tax collector and Peter. And if Jesus in his earthly body could read minds and the hearts of men and women, how much more now that he has been filled the world and the universe with his spirit, and he has been enthroned upon the right hand of the Father, does he know of your thoughts and of your heart today? It kind of hurts, doesn't it, a little bit, when we stop and think about how much God truly knows about us. He knows your deepest, darkest secret. He is constantly monitoring your heart. Nothing that you and I do is hidden from him. Oh, we love to think we've got stuff hidden from each other, don't we? But we love to deceive ourselves into thinking that we've got it all wrapped up, that it's not going to happen. We're just thinking that, hey, we've got it all figured out. But that devil, he is one of the craftiest, and I always like to use the term slimiest, creatures around. He loves to get you thinking that God doesn't know. He loves to take and make you think that God doesn't care what you're doing. The devil can be so subtle. So subtle in making us think that no one knows. Jesus, because of his of who he was exempt from the tax. But yet, while Jesus was here on earth, he subject himself to the law of the land. As an example for you and I as Christians, Jesus could have refused to pay the tax for two reasons. First of all, because he is the Son of God. You and I, we are called the sons of God by adoption, Romans 8:15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Can you just think about that for just a moment of how he has adopted us as his children? But Christ was the Son. 87 times throughout Scripture, he is referred to as the Son because of his coexistence with the Father. Scripture tells us that God created the universe through his Son. And you're going to say, Pastor, where did you come up with that statement? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. In these last days, has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. It's God's word telling us that the world was made through his Son. I sometimes think we get so wrapped up in the children's stories, which are wonderful way to present the gospel to young people. But we need to get off the milk and get into the meat. We need to start digging deeper to understand the full realm of God's word. Scripture tells us that God sent his Son into the world. And secondly, remember that he should not have had to pay the tax because the temple is his temple. And we find that when Jesus Christ, at the age of 12, was found in the temple. Luke 2:49, and it says, and he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? Or how about when he drove out the money exchangers and the merchants? And he said, and to those who were selling the doves, he said, take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a place of business. John 2:16. Again, another translation uses it as a den of thieves. So did Jesus truly need to pay the tax? No, he didn't. But he set an example for you and I. What are we to do? We must recognize ourselves as to who we are. We are the sons of God. In reference to our adoption, we are his sons. And Jesus made it plural, that the sons are exempt. We are so much a part of the family of the King that we are exempt. But yet, God says, let's not offend anybody. The privilege that God has given us, he says, let's not offend. An important principle for Christians today. We are bound to follow this principle when we're dealing with the lost people and the body of Christ, is that we need to be careful not to offend. How many of us offend one another? As a pastor, I've been more than once been told that I've offended somebody from the pulpit because I read God's word and reiterated what it said, and it offended someone. I had a confirmation student one time tell me and wanted to argue with me about what I was teaching from God's Word. And I put a challenge out to that class, and I said, I will never, ever allow you to argue with me against what God's Word says unless you can come to me with God's Word telling me that I'm wrong. My confirmation class quit arguing with me. Because then the burden was back on their shoulder. They had to know what God's Word says before they could take and say that it didn't say that. I think it's very important for us to be careful not to unnecessarily offend people. But if God's Word offends, it's doing its work. It's cutting into the quick. It's getting through the murk and the muck that's in the lives of people. It's amazing that Jesus, he resented his rights rather than to give offense to the people. You know, we think of him as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and we think so often that he would have stood up and says, no, I'm not going to pay the tax because I don't have to. Instead, Jesus taught you and I a little bit more humility. Number three, it was kind of a strange method of payment. Jesus took the mouth of a fish to provide the money to pay the tax. Think about that statement for just a moment. And think about the poverty of Jesus Christ. He had nothing. He had no money on him. We, I think, sometimes forget that Jesus Christ came here, born in poverty in the barn, and we kind of leave it at that. Jesus didn't have anything the whole time he was here on earth. He didn't have a home that he could call his home. He didn't have his own pillow to lay his head on. The poverty was real. 2 Corinthians 8:9. I really wanted to back this up with Scripture today so that you could understand the importance of it. 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. We can become rich because of his poverty. We can become rich because of who he is. But think of the power in this. The fish was in the right place at the right time, with the right amount. The money was right where Christ said it would be. Isn't it evident of who is Lord here? Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord over the demons. He's Lord over the sickness that we battle as humans. He's Lord over sin. He conquered sin and death. And he's certainly Lord over nature. Nature may change things a little bit. My in-laws have to stay in town for another day because nature changed. But that's okay. If we can just praise him for it. So oftentimes, do we stop and realize that Jesus Christ has power over the day of worship, over the Sabbath? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Are we worshiping him? that holiness and in that truth. Look at Peter's walk of faith. If you were standing before Jesus and he told you to walk down to the water and throw a hook in and grab that fish that you were going to have money in that hand to pay the tax, would you have gone? Scripture doesn't tell us that Peter hesitated, but Peter went, is what Scripture says. Are you ready to walk by faith? Are you ready to go where Jesus tells you to go? Peter went on a mission to catch a fish, to pay the taxes. He was sent by the master. Are you really ready to listen? It simply had to be a miracle because that fish had that coin in its mouth. Let's look at it for just a minute at the lesson that you and I can learn from this miracle. Peter had to catch the fish. God says, I'm not going to hand you everything on a silver platter. Sometimes you're going to have to get out and do something. God wants us to go when he calls. God wants us to say what he wants us to say when he gives it to us. He wants us to do what he wants us to do. We must work to have what God has given us. There's a reward for that obedience of doing what God has called you to do. God provides the needs for those who work for him. But you know what? Most important is God wants us to be content in our present condition. Doesn't matter if it's great plenty or if it's just a little bit, we're to be content. Are you willing to be content? Gratitude. Learning to be thankful for that little bit that you have. Being thankful for every little blessing. God is so grateful. He is so good to us. One of the things that was shared with me when I came and interviewed for the position here at this church was that this church is so blessed. It's paid for. There's always a little extra in the coffer to pay the bills every month. Are we grateful? Are we thankful for those blessings? In a very short time, we're going to have a short congregational business meeting. As members of the congregation, you're going to be asked to vote, to give some money to some young people. I truly believe that as a congregation, if we are faithful, God's going to bless us. But if we get to the point where we close the purse and decide not to do what God's called us to do, to share what he has given us with others, then what's going to happen is, are we going to continue to be blessed? God's calling you. Are you willing to go? Does that mean we go personally, or does that mean we send funds to help those who are gone? How can God bless us if we're foolish enough not to bless others with the blessings that he's already given us? Let's not limit the way that God will provide for you and I. We can just continue to expect that God's going to take and provide our needs. But when we do, we as Christians must learn to be thankful. We must learn not to offend. We must recognize that we are the adopted sons of the Most High. And probably one of the most important points here is to remember to walk by faith. Because God's blessings are going to come to those who are obedient to his word. Amen. Lord, today again, I thank you for your word, even as it sometimes has to cut through the thick crust. We sometimes need that, Lord, to change, to move us, to bless us. Continue, Lord, to be with us, guide us, and protect us. In thy name we pray.